news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
As cases surge, the total number of COVID-19 infections in the United States has now passed 3.5 million, with more than 137,000 deaths. The outbreak has gotten worse in 41 states over the last 2 weeks. Public health groups are sounding the alarm about a White House effort to bypass the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention as the federal recipient of state and local COVID-19 data. The administration says a change to put the Department of Health and Human Services in charge will streamline reporting, but experts say the shift could harm the quality of U.S. information and is designed to assert control at a time when Trump has been downplaying the severity of the crisis. And sure enough, there was this tweet Thursday morning from Charles Ornstein of ProPublica, quote, "I had hoped it was a glitch, but no, the CDC government hospital capacity dashboard has gone dark. CDC director has said that they still have access to the data, but apparently the public no longer does." Meanwhile, the top federal infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, said in an interview published by The Atlantic on Wednesday that he didn't understand why White House officials have tried to discredit him recently, adding that everyone in the administration should focus on fighting the pandemic, not each other. Regarding the smear campaign against him, Fauci said, quote, "It is a bit bizarre. It doesn't do anything but reflect poorly on them." Trump on Wednesday tried to distance himself from White House trade advisor Peter Navarro, who wrote a scathing op-ed Tuesday criticizing Fauci and accusing him of numerous mistakes. But an anonymous administration official said that Trump himself authorized Navarro's Fauci attack. From the Republican governor's idiocy files, we first go to Oklahoma, where Governor Kevin Stitt announced Wednesday that he had tested positive for COVID-19. He's the first governor to test positive in the pandemic. Stitt said he was feeling fine, but got tested Tuesday because he was feeling, quote, a little bit achy. By the way, Stitt, who opposes a statewide mask requirement, not only encouraged Trump's June rally in Tulsa against the advice of public health officials, but he attended the rally and didn't wear a mask. Next, we move to Georgia, where Governor Brian Kemp on Wednesday banned local governments in the state from requiring residents to wear masks in public, voiding orders in at least 15 cities and counties. Kemp has said he thinks wearing masks to fight the spread of the coronavirus should be voluntary and that local governments do not have the authority to order people to wear face coverings. Kemp, of course, was among the first governors to ease lockdown restrictions and let businesses reopen. It's worth noting that COVID-19 hospitalizations in the state have nearly doubled since the beginning of the month to 2,800, the most on record. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg on Wednesday was discharged from Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore and is now at home and doing well. The 87-year-old Supreme Court Justice was hospitalized on Tuesday for treatment of a possible infection after experiencing fever and chills. She underwent an endoscopic procedure at Johns Hopkins to clean out a bile duct stent that was placed in August. That's the best news we could hope for today. Meanwhile, Twitter didn't have such a great day on Wednesday. The accounts of people like Joe Biden, Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Warren Buffett, Jeff Bezos, former President Barack Obama, and others were compromised in what was possibly the biggest security breach in the platform's history. The attackers took over accounts and posted tweets that appeared to promote a Bitcoin scam. The hack is particularly concerning because so many world leaders use Twitter, so having such a powerful tool vulnerable to scammers could be disastrous. And now we know it wasn't photoshopped. Donald Trump posted a picture on Instagram showing him at his desk surrounded by a variety of Goya products. The shameless promotion of the food company came a day after his daughter, Ivanka, posted a Twitter selfie with a can of black beans. Both of the pictures came in reaction to a boycott against Goya that began after its CEO said that the country is truly blessed to be under Trump's leadership. By the way, both pictures are in direct violation of the Hatch Act and should be prosecuted. But that's not surprising when we take into account this next story. The White House's Presidential Personnel Office is reportedly carrying out intense one-on-one interviews with administration officials to make sure they're sufficiently loyal to Trump. Politico reporting that health officials and hundreds of other political hires across federal agencies are being forced to take loyalty tests to help make sure they won't turn on the president or the administration? The testing process is being led by Johnny McEntee, a 30-year-old Trump aide who was handed the top job at the White House personnel office earlier this year. The interviewees are reportedly asked about career goals, but have also been asked to give examples of the ways they're supporting the administration. Trump's new hyperpartisan mega donor, Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, issued a new document titled The New Postmaster General's Expectations and Plan. And it appears aimed at slowing down the service to make it less effective. One of the items in the letter tells employees to leave mail behind at distribution centers if it delayed letter carriers from their routes. Analysts say the documents present a stark reimagining of the U.S. Postal Service that could chase away customers, especially if the White House gets the steep package rate increases it wants and put the already beleaguered agency in deeper financial peril as private sector competitors embark on hiring sprees to build out their own delivery networks. The changes also worry vote-by-mail advocates who insist that any policy that slows delivery could imperil access to mailed and absentee ballots. It reinforces the need, they say, for Congress to provide the agency emergency coronavirus funding. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.